Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have an extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length in different topics and a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you and help you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. We want you to come with an open Bible, an open mind, and help us show you your need for God in your life and your heavenly relationship with His Son, who left heaven, came to earth, and died for your sin. We have been studying the great book of Hebrews. This morning, we want to begin in Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to read the first 6 verses. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith by those who heard it. For if we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken it in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again in the place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those who to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying to David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, in these first few verses of the fourth chapter of the Hebrew letter, he is giving us a call for diligence, a call of diligence in order that we might enter the promised rest. After the writer in chapter 3 showed clearly and very vividly that the children of Israel fell in the wilderness and lost their life and lost their opportunity to go into the land that God had promised them, another truth is given beginning in this chapter. Again, we remind you of verses chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. Those three verses were emphasizing and driving home the point that they had fell because of unbelief. Therefore, because those things were true, those things happened. That's evidence and that's testimony that that indeed happened. Therefore is drawing a conclusion. Therefore, what? What does that mean to us? In verse 1, here the writer is trying to get the Hebrews to see the danger in falling away and going into apostasy. Israel is used as a negative example. Those who came short of it, we do not want to follow their example and fall short of it. This is the eternal rest waiting the people of God, who remain steadfast and faithful until the end. Like Joshua and Caleb, they were faithful. They were faithful when they went into the promised land. What they saw, they did not fear, because they saw in the eyes of faith. In verse 2, the word was preached to them, the Israelites, just like it was preached to these Hebrew Christians. Notice, for indeed the gospel was preached to them as well as to them. And the word which they heard did not profit them, not mixed with faith, by those who heard it. You see, they got the good news. They were going into the promised land. They were going to receive the promise that God had made Abraham so long ago. But that promise did not benefit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith. And faith is demonstrated by obedience. They weren't obedient, so they did not benefit from the promise because it was not given by, they did not follow it by faith. God had established conditions. The conditions were obedience. It was belief. It was faith. It was acting on that faith. You go back and read in Deuteronomy chapter 28. It lists blessings and cursing. God promised both. And blessings and cursings were determined by whether they would be obedient or whether they would be disobedient. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done many mighty works in your name? And then I will say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, we're told to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, so that we know that our labor is not in vain. We must be faithful. We must not be rebellious. And if we don't mix our faith with obedience, then just like them, it will profit us nothing. For we who have believed do enter that rest. So he said, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter his rest." Now what's he saying? He's saying that if we do the same thing they did, now how would we do the same thing they did? Well, we would not mix our faith with our obedient action. We would not mix what we heard and the promises with obedient faith. You've got to have obedient faith in order to escape the punishment. They did not do it. They determined to go their own way, and they paid dearly for it. We need to understand that it says in verse 6, "Since therefore there remains, some must enter it. And to those to whom it was first preached, did not enter because of disobedience." Now again, he's showing an example, a contrast. Now remember what happened to the first generation. They didn't receive it. They were given it, but they didn't gain it because they didn't keep their part of the bargain. They became disobedient. And that was the reason they didn't inherit the land and didn't receive that rest. And he designates a certain day, saying, "Today, after such a long time, it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Do not harden your heart. How does man harden his heart? He does that by being disobedient, by not doing what God has promised. If the rest first promised, many did not take advantage of it. Did God offer it in vain? No, he didn't offer it in vain. There was a remnant that would benefit from it. The children of Israel's children, the second generation, they went in, they received the rest that was rejected by their forefathers. But if the rest first promised, many did not take advantage. Did God offer something that he never intended to give? No. You see, the next generation, unfortunately, they would fall too into unbelief. They were invited to go into Canaan, and they refused. They paid dearly. David is warning the next generation to refrain from following the terrible example. If the eternal rest was the promised land, why would Joshua and God speak of another one? God and Joshua spoke of another rest that remains for the people of God. What is that if the land of Canaan was at rest, like so many religious people today believe in the premillennial theory, that God's promise is the utopia on earth? No, it's not. That's not the promise. That's not the promised rest. The promised rest is an eternal rest, a rest from all labor, all trial, all adversity, all struggles with the devil, no more sin, no more adversity. That doesn't exist on earth. That exists in heaven. But notice, if we will hear his voice, there is a condition. You've got to hear his voice. If you hear his voice, you must follow it. Let me read you something that Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse number 27 and 28. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now again, many people read these verses and claim eternal security, claim that what God promised, we have in reserve, and it will never be taken away. But notice verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. That's a condition. You've got to hear the shepherd's voice. And you must know him, and he must know you. How does God know them, and how does he know them? They know God by their faith, and he knows them by their obedience. And they follow me. So if you hear God, he knows you, you know him, and you follow him, no one can snatch you out of his hand. No one can take away your hope of eternal life. Nobody can keep you from receiving the promise. But you can. You can by being disobedient. You can by not listening. You can by not following. You can by not adhering to the things that God has required of us and ask us to do through his word. That is obedient faith. And God gives this example of his children in the Old Testament that we might not buy this false teaching that goes around in our country and in our religious world today, that all you have to do is believe and you're home free. The Bible doesn't teach it. Anywhere does the Bible not teach that? The Bible teaches that it takes obedient faith. It takes a consistent, obedient heart that follows the instructions of God without wavering, without doubt, without reservation, and does exactly to the best of their ability by their goodwill and by God's grace and mercy to follow the things and the instructions that God gives. And when we do, we will enter that rest. But if we follow the pattern of those of old who were given the opportunity, who were promised the rest, who were promised the land, and yet they did not receive it, but they died before they obtained it because they disobeyed God. God called that an act of unbelief. People that were in a relationship with God, in God's family, in that covenant, because of their action, because of their disobedient action, did not receive the promise. In like manner, ladies and gentlemen, in bringing this to a close, we cannot expect to receive heaven. We cannot expect to receive the eternal reward if we follow the pattern of that generation that lost the reward by unbelief and disobedience. Ladies and gentlemen, it matters what you do. It matters how you receive the instructions of God. It matters how you view them, and it matters greatly if you do them. Remember what Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Yet there are many, many, even in our community, who call Lord, Lord, claim allegiance, claim love, claim they believe the Bible, claim that it's infallible, and yet they do their own thing and believe that it has no effect on the promise that God has made them of eternal rest. The Israelites found out the hard way that they were wrong, that when they disobeyed, they lost the promise. Where we make that same tragic mistake.